In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Take the cup. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the sacrifice of your Son. It's so undeserved. And yet, Lord, you lavish your love upon us by doing that. And we can do nothing but just bow and worship you in gratefulness for who you are and how much you love us, Lord. Make your death, burial, and resurrection real to us in our lives as we strive to serve you as your body here on earth. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. It's a great day, isn't it? I'm not sure. Oh, I'm Tom Fishburne, by the way, youth pastor here. I'm sure the rumor mill is spinning, but there's a reason why I'm up here and our new pastor, Ryan, is not. We have a new member of our congregation from early this morning. Nora is now with us. And so Ryan sent me a picture, great family picture of the four of them all together. Beautiful picture. And taking every ounce of my energy not to show it to you. He asked me not to. He wants to be the first to post it on social media, and I understand that. But it's a beautiful picture. They are such a wonderful family. We are blessed to have them in leadership here at our church. So if you're thinking about it throughout the day, say a prayer for Ryan and his family, that Isabel will get the rest that she much deserves and needs, and that there'll just be peace in their family and their household as they move forward. But it's a beautiful day. We want to welcome your guests, our guests, several faces I know I don't recognize. We want to welcome you. I hope that you feel at home. I hope you had a chance to maybe enjoy breakfast with us. But we want to be a family to you. I hope you don't feel like a visitor in a strange land. We want to embrace you and make you feel at home. And so as you were coming in, you should have received your worship folder with a, I didn't bring my visual aid. I forgot. Here you go. One of these. That's why I married her. My life would be a mess. Inside your worship folder, you should have seen this connection card. Just to give us some basic information about you and to record your visit with us today and to give us an opportunity, any way possible, we can be of a ministry to you. If you need prayer, if you want somebody to contact you, if you want us to leave you alone, that's cool. We'll leave you alone. But we just would like to have a record of your visit. So after our offering, if you could get this to the ushers as they make their way back up the aisles, well, we appreciate that just so we know that you are here and we can be a blessing to you. We're going to move on to our tithes and offerings now. So again, visitors, please don't feel obligated to give. We're blessed to have you with us. We want to be a blessing to you. Feel free to join us as we have friends and family come forward to give their tithes and offerings. Please feel free to join us for prayer. We'd like to circle up and to bless the offering, and we'd love for you to be a part of that if you so choose. But if not, that's fine. We just don't want you to feel any obligation at all to give unless the Holy Spirit leads you to do so. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray, bless the offering, and then I'll have you come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the blessings that you've given to us. We're grateful for Pastor Ryan and Isabel and Luke and now little baby Nora. Lord, we thank you that everyone is happy and healthy and doing well. Just pray your blessing upon them this morning, Lord. But also, as we take up our tithes and offerings, Lord, we know that every single good thing comes from you, and we can give you nothing that you don't already own. But Lord, we want to show as an act of faith, an act of worship, our dependence on you and our willingness to give of what you've given to us already, Lord. Pray that you take these offerings, bless them, use them to do mighty work in this community. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please come forward.
Good morning. What a blessed day, right? We're so happy to be with you today. And well, for those who don't know, my husband and I, my name is Betsy Lara, and my handsome husband,
Enrique Lara.
We have a few announcements for you.
Okay. The first one is a pie with Pastor Ryan. We have a new pastor, as you know, and the idea, the original idea, is three Sundays afternoon, 6 p.m., but obviously today they need to spend the day with Nora, the new member of our church. So it's for next Sunday, and the next is December 10 and December 17, 6 p.m. here at the church. It's not required to reserve, but it's a good idea to come and spend time with Pastor and his family, to know each other, share his story with them, and they will share the story with you.
And also, please mark your calendars for Christ's Covenant Christmas Eve service featuring an outdoor live nativity scene. This will be on Sunday, December the 24th at 10:30 p.m. We are so sure that if you come, you will create a lasting family memory and experience the love and the power of the Savior. This will be, yes, it's over there. It's the Christmas Eve in December 24th at 10:30. So it will be a 1 hour service, and children ministry will be provided for children from 6 weeks through 3 years old.
Yes, we are so happy to be new faces here. So for all of you, welcome. As you can see, we are like a family. So you are very, very welcome. For the new members, please a clap, please. Okay, and now welcome to Pastor Tom. Release the children. This is yours.
Oh my God, it's time to release the children to Covenant Christ. Thank you.
And now welcome to our Pastor Tom Fishburne.
Good morning again. I just want to clarify, I'm not sure if it came through. That's the Christmas Eve service, 10:30 a.m. It's our morning service. Don't come at 10:30 p.m. There will be nobody here, okay? I don't know if we get enough people here at 10:30. We could have an impromptu service out in the parking lot, but the door will be locked. But I'm not against that. If anyone wants to meet 10:30, we could do that. That's fine. I'll bring a guitar. Alan, you in? All right, good. All right. Anyway, 10:30, too late. You're in. 10:30 a.m. is the new Christmas Eve service, not New Year's Eve. Yes, New Year's Eve service will also be 10:30. Bring your noisemakers. We're going to have some celebratory worship on that day. We planning. All right. Well, good deal. Well, they released the children. That takes that off of my plate. Thank you very much. As you know, Pastor Ryan and Isabel, they are at Memorial Hermann Hospital with little baby Nora. He called me last night. About 11 o'clock to let me know it was happening. I'm not sure exactly what time she was born. Does anyone know? I don't know if he gave us a time. But he knew the process was in the works at 11 o'clock last night, so he called me, and he had given me warning earlier in the week that it was a possibility. I totally forgot all about it until 11 o'clock last night when he called me. So I just want to let you know, a little disclaimer, I recycled a message from youth on Wednesday night, but you know what? I think it's going to be beautiful. It fits perfectly with what's going on in our church today. And he did want me to make one announcement before I get started. December 17th, that's 2 weeks from today, there will be a special Christmas offering that is going to be taken here at the church. This is above and beyond your tithes. This is a special Christmas offering. He wants you to have 2 weeks' notice so that you can pray about it. Pray and ask God what he would have you give. And the purpose of this, I'm just going to give you the very vague generalization, and he can give you more details when he returns. But we see 2018 as a prime opportunity to really reach this community with the gospel of Christ, to really do some outreach, to evangelize, to really touch this community. And so the special offering taken up on December 17th is going to basically be seeding that vision. He'll give you specifics in terms of what exactly it will be used for, but it's above and beyond our tithes in order to specifically kind of pave the way for that evangelical push into the community going into 2018. So please pray about it. Pray what the Lord would have you give. And then look forward to Ryan, hopefully next week, and give you more details. But be praying about it now, because I don't want anyone to take this lightly or show up unaware and unprepared. So he wanted me to make sure that I shared that with you. Kids are released. We're good. All right. So, like I said, this is a recycled talk. We started off with a video, and I'm going to play that video for you today. I just want you to keep some things in mind as you watch this. Imagine God is speaking to you. God is revealing himself to you. I want you to think, what exactly is he saying? Okay? Go ahead and play it. Okay, that was actual time-lapse video of some of the most beautiful landscapes I've seen, personally. Not, I mean, I've never seen any of those personally, in terms of video. But I'm just let me just throw out a little popcorn question. What did you hear God saying to you as that video was playing? What was he revealing about himself? Anyone? Brenda. It's not about us. Excellent. Yes, Linda. Absolutely, yes. Can't take it all in. Yes, Ashley. Out of nothing. One of our youth said, or maybe it was Judy, it was just words. Words spoken and boom, out of nothing. Barry. Ah. The immensity of eternity is what he said. Estelle? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like the rope. It's like Ryan's rope example last week. We're living for this much, and we got all that eternity. I saw a hand over. Yes. Multitask. That popped up on Wednesday night when we had our youth. Yeah, it's one of the things. I love what Brenda said. It's kind of one of those paradoxes that just reveals exactly what God's all about. Yes, it's all about him, but at the same time, I believe it was Corbin who mentioned on Wednesday, it's all about him, but at the same time, all of that was for us. You know what I'm saying? It's a paradox, but when we realize the immensity of God's love, it makes perfect sense. It is all about him, and yet every single one of those scenes was made for you and me, for us to enjoy, for us to see God's glory. So we had some great discussion on Wednesday about that, and I want to throw this out. Topic I'm going to speak on today is, do we have a PowerPoint? One of the songs we sang this morning, there we go, How Great is Our God. And hopefully that video is just a very small drop in the bucket of just how great our God is. For me, the one thing I've experienced, I told the youth this, I've never seen Out West. Some of these scenes I would love, that's on my bucket list. I got to get out there and see some of these in real life. But for me, Niagara Falls. Has anyone been to the edge of Niagara Falls? It is awe-inspiring, the amount of power, the amount of strength. You can literally get within just a few feet of bone-crushing water pressure that is just, it makes you weak in the knees. You start to shake a little bit when you realize just right there, all that power. And that's just a small drop in the bucket of what God is all about. So what I want to do, and I think this is appropriate today. Today's Communion Sunday, where we remember the amazing gift of God's Son, the sacrifice that he made for us. But I think it's also important for us to just kind of go back and remember just how great is our God. We talk about building an Ebenezer, a memorial to remember great things that God has done. And so this is kind of a refresher course, I guess we could say, of just some of the attributes of God that make him so great. And so I would like to read, if you have your Bibles or your iPhones, whatever you may have, if you can pull up Romans 11, 33 through 36. I like to read the New Living Translation. That's my personal favorite. So that's what these are in, the version that we'll be reading. But Romans 11, 33 through 36 says, "Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen." So that kind of just sums it all up right there. We can't possibly try to understand God's ways. I had a little girl on Wednesday. She kept asking the most amazing questions, trying to wrap her head around, how can God do these things? And the only thing I could tell her is, I have no idea. I can't possibly even begin to explain how God can be this great, how God can be this awesome. We just kind of have to leave it at that and take it by faith. We see it every day if you're looking for it. You can see the glory of God. You can see the power in your life. Don't try to understand it. Just embrace it because it's yours. It was given to you. So I want to look at some of the attributes of God and call these the omnis. And I'm sure you probably know what they all are. Omni, of course, means what? All-encompassing, entirely, totality, okay? Whatever image you can put on the word all to mean literally all, infinitely all, okay? So the first omni that we're going to talk about, God is omniscient, okay? Omniscient means all what? Knowing. He knows it all. And that verse from Romans touched on that. How great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge? It is impossible for us to understand his decisions and his ways. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? It's not possible. And in Psalm 139, 1 through 4, it says, O Lord, I apologize, I'm going to be bouncing around. Don't try to necessarily catch up in your own Bible. I got the verses on the screen for you. But in Psalm 139, 1 through 4, O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. So he's all-knowing, but in a sense, there's an aspect of time here as well. He knows everything in the past. He knows everything in the present. He knows everything in the future. Matter of fact, time is not a barrier for God like it is for us. We can only move forward. We are omnidirectional. I'm sorry. Uni, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. I'm sorry, I need to brush up on my Greek. Latin? I don't know. I'm trying to be an educator, and I need to be educated. Okay. Yeah, we have one direction we can travel through time. God, however, that's not a boundary for him. He's all-knowing in the past, the present, and the future. And that's just amazing. In Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5, he counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Right there, he's just giving us an out. Don't try to comprehend it. It is what it is. God is God. Don't try to wrap your head around what he can understand. I love it says he counts all the stars and he knows them by name. He's named every single star. And I may have mentioned this in past times I've spoken. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that scientists estimate anywhere, let's say approximately 200 billion stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. Imagine coming up with 200 billion names for each one of those stars. But it doesn't stop there. Thanks to the Hubble telescope, we now know there's at least 100 billion galaxies out there, each with 100 or 200 or 300 billion stars. And God knows every single one of them. He put every single one of them exactly where it is, and he has a name for every single one of them. Sarah and I, we have two sons. You know how hard it was to come up with names for two boys? I mean, that was a struggle. I can't possibly imagine God having a name for the multitude of stars. But he's all-knowing. I'm just going to read this. God has immeasurable knowledge and understanding. He fully knows himself, everything that is, and everything that could be. Nothing is a discovery to God. Think about that. God can never discover anything because he created everything. He cannot learn because he's the teacher. It's hard for us to imagine. We are so bound by our human limitations. It's hard for us to wrap our head around this. Since God is creator and is perfect, he knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. And because God is timeless, because he created time, he is not bound by it. He knows all that is past, present, and future. So that's just one aspect of God. He's omniscient. We can't understand it. We don't need to understand it. The next omni, God is omnipotent. The key word there is potent. potent being, powerful, strong. Okay. Potent cough medicine. We've all had that before. It's strong. He's all powerful. Meaning there's absolutely no limitation to anything for him to do. He can do absolutely anything he chooses to, except for one thing. What can God not do? I'm sorry? He can't lie, okay? Can't sin in general, yeah. So let me put it under a bigger umbrella. I said there's only one thing. Okay, I guess we can list a million things. He cannot do anything that contradicts who he is, okay? The classic that you hear kids talk about in high school, can God create a rock so big that he can't lift it? Okay, well, now you're stuck because no matter how you answer that question, you've just disproven God's power. Because if he can build a rock so powerful or so big that he can't lift it, you've just limited God's power. And if he can't build a rock, you've just limited his power. So yeah, I told my kid, don't get caught up in that conversation. It's set to trap you. God cannot deny himself. He cannot contradict who he is. And that includes sin, lying, building rocks that he can't lift. Not on his repertoire, I guess. So in Isaiah 44, 24, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer and Creator. I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? I didn't need any help. Did it all myself. With words, he spoke everything into existence. That's just amazing. Again, don't try to understand it. Just accept it. That is the God that is embracing you and offering his riches to you. It's the God that is all-powerful. Science can try to put God in a box and limit his abilities using science. And you know what? God created science. He can't be bound by that which he created. Yes. Someone said multitasker. Who was that? God, the ultimate multitasker. Actually, he's the ultimate omnitasker. That's a word we invented on Wednesday as well. He's an omnitasker. He does it all at the same time. It's a beautiful thing. Next one. God is omnipresent. I think that's pretty much self-descriptive. He's everywhere all the time. In Psalm 139, back to 139, verses 7 through 12, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. For some, that can be very encouraging. For others, that could be a little, intimidating, I suppose. If you're trying to run from God, good luck. Have fun with that. But for those of us who've embraced his grace, embraced his mercy and his love, it doesn't get any more beautiful than that. No matter what I do, no matter how hard I fall, no matter how far I fall away from the path that he's directed me on, he's there, ready to urge and pull me back up. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 through 24. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No. I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? So he's completely present everywhere. He doesn't have any physical limitations. It's hard because we are physical beings. We tend to package everything into what we know, a human body. We got to be able to break free from that and just say, you know what? God, I can't understand. you. I can't understand that you don't relate to a human body the way I understand it. But I don't care. You are who you are. I don't need to understand you, but I embrace you as my Lord. And if we stop our testimony there, if we're out preaching the gospel, telling people how wonderful God is, and we tell them how omniscient he is, how omnipotent he is, and how omnipresent he is, those are all wonderful things. Don't stop your testimony there, though, because like I said, that can be intimidating to someone who has got an image of God as the big dictator in the sky, the slave master who's just looking for me to screw up so that he can punish me. That can be very intimidating. No, I can't run away from him. He's everywhere. I can't do anything in secret. He knows everything. Even before I've thought it, he knows it. And he's all-powerful. He could squash me like a bug. If that's your image of God, why would that draw you in? There's another characteristic of God that cannot be left out of the equation. The most important one. God is omnibenevolent. Anyone heard that term before? I never heard the term until I was preparing this lesson for the youth. It's a big word. You know what benevolence is, right? Love. He's all loving. You take that aspect away from God, I'd be terrified. I wouldn't want anything to do with him. I'd try to hide even though I couldn't. That's an awful feeling to know that someone is always with you, always watching you, knows every thought you have, and can squash you instantly if he wants. That's not a comforting feeling. You throw this into the equation, his omnibenevolence, all loving, and all of a sudden the whole picture changes. Your view of God can be nothing but amazing. To know that not only is he omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, but he uses that power, he uses that greatness for our benefit. It's not to work against us. It's not to punish us when we're weak and we fail. But it's to keep pushing us forward, to keep pushing us into his will, and to just bless us immensely. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." The people who don't know God as Abba Father have not been adopted yet into his family, and I say yet, they don't have this understanding. God is that big dictator in the sky, but we know him as our loving Father. And in Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11, so he's our Father, so what? Well, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to you? Or give gifts to those who ask him, I'm sorry. That's amazing. We have a loving Father who wants to just lavish his love on us. I used the word on Wednesday and everyone's like, what did he say? Glom? God wants to glom his love on us. Just blah, love, blessing, blah. Okay, it's not a pretty way to put it. The song by John Mark McMillan, How He Loves, heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. Now, some people, when they lead worship, they don't like that line, so they change the words, which I can understand. I'm not going to come down on them too hard for that, but I love that phrase, heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. That's how God loves us. Like the bridegroom, and we are his bride. He wants to give us every good thing. Not only does he want to, look at those first three characteristics. He has the ability to. He has the desire and he has the ability to give you every blessing. Not just enough to survive, but to prosper, to be blessed so much that your head explodes. You just can't contain it all. But you have to be open to it. You have to be willing to accept that that's who God is, that God the Father has adopted you as a son, as a daughter, as a child. Give your life to Christ. Give yourself over to his ways and to his will. and let him just love on you with all the power of the universe, with all the knowledge and wisdom of the universe. That's just amazing. So how does God use this greatness? Well, he does several things. First of all, he governs creation. He keeps it all in order. There are some verses on that. I'm not going to go into them. But the Bible says he keeps the universe in order. It's structured. And again, astronomy nerd here. Do you realize the Milky Way galaxy should not exist? Science has proven there is not enough matter inside of our galaxy to hold us together. We should be flying apart. Gravity can't hold our galaxy together. So this is, of course, dark energy, dark matter, invisible forces and invisible matter that science can't explain, can't see, can't measure, but they've created it to explain the fact that our universe is being held together by something we don't understand. I know what that is, and it's not dark energy. It's not dark matter. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's holding it all together. The Bible says that. He restrains evil. Evil is running rampant in this world. There's no doubt about it. Okay, when Adam and Eve sinned and opened the door to allow Satan to run rampant on the surface of the earth, he has done so. He is the prince of this world. He's ruling the surface of the earth with sin and evil. Thank God, he's still in the picture. God just doesn't let him do whatever he wants. He takes evil and uses it for his glory, can turn it into good. Without God in the picture, could you imagine? Evil running rampant. I mean, we saw the Las Vegas massacre, 9/11. Think about all of the ways man has intended evil upon his fellow man. And then look in the, read the articles afterwards. Look at all the ways God's glory came through in those situations. People falling on their knees, giving their lives to Christ. All used out of evil to bring glory to God. God didn't create the evil, but he says he's going to use it for his glory. And ultimately, God's going to fix this broken world entirely. Every evil nation, every king, ruler is going to be crushed under the foot of Jesus Christ, and he was going to rule and reign and bring everything back to under its original condition, its original intent, the way he created it. We have hope of that. That's why we're here, because we believe in that hope, that it's all going to be fixed in the end. So he uses his glory to hold creation together, to restrain evil, and ultimately, he's going to bring it all back together for his glory. So next question is, well, so what? What do we do? What's in it for you and me? What should we do with this information? It's really simple. First of all, share it. Don't hold this to yourself. I used the example on Wednesday. Imagine your best friend was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and he's coming over for pizza tonight. Are you not going to tell your friends? You've got the most powerful being in the universe, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, most amazing being that anyone can even comprehend. Matter of fact, we can't comprehend it. It's that amazing. Yep, we're not going to share that with anybody. We're going to keep it a secret. Keep that contact hidden on your cell phone. We need to be sharing, but ultimately, this is why we are here. Psalm 145, 1 through 3. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Sometimes that's all we need to do. Just fall on our knees and give God the worship and the praise and the glory that he deserves. It can be that simple. And so, as we sing one more song this morning, I would ask our prayer team to come forward. And as we're singing, if you have any need at all, maybe you've never committed your life to Christ, maybe you want to take that step for the very first time today, please come forward, talk to our prayer team. They would love to have a chat with you and be able to pray with you. Anything else, any other need of ministry you have, physical need, financial need, a relational need, anything that's going on, anything you would like to have prayer for, please feel free to come up and pray with our prayer team. That's what they're here for. Excellent people. They're going to love on you. And after we are done with this song, you're all dismissed. Dear Lord, we thank you for your greatness. We just want to bow and worship you and just proclaim throughout the earth that you are God and that you alone are worthy of praise. As we go about our work week, Lord, we just pray that your praise would be constantly on our lips, that everywhere we go, men will be directed to see your face, your glory be present in our lives. Be with us as we go. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.